following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Daily Gazette Company presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Daily Gazette sports editor, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York. It's our final podcast of May, and it's going to be a simple one. We're going to talk baseball with the ESPN MLB analyst Tim Kirchen. We always love having Tim on the show. We'll talk about a variety of topics going around Major League Baseball, including the quote-unquote retirement of umpire Angel Hernandez. That was met with a lot of glee on social media Monday night as word filtered out about that. And of course, Angel Hernandez has been known to be one of the worst umpires in baseball. Tim has an interesting take on Angel and umpiring in general. So you know, stick around to listen to that. Also, I had some questions from our listeners. I'll answer those for you as well. But before we take a break, we're going to honor Bill Walton, the great college basketball NBA player and fantastic analyst on college basketball for ESPN. He passed away Monday at the age of 71 from cancer. And I don't think a lot of people knew that. And I didn't know that. I was shocked when I saw the news break Monday afternoon. And Bill Walton broke my heart. We'll actually talk a little bit about Bill Walton, too, with Tim Kirchen. Because Bill Walton broke my heart in 1977 when his Portland Trail Blazers beat my Philadelphia 76ers, coming back from a 2-0 deficit in the 1977 NBA Finals to win it 4-2. And his career, he had a nice NBA career, was sort of marred by injuries. And yeah, he made himself into a sixth man with the Boston Celtics late in his career, won a sixth man award in the NBA, and then became an analyst doing NBA on NBC and then moving over to ESPN. And really, with Walton, it was kind of a shocking move because Bill Walton, the player, was sort of shy, and we found out later he had issues with stuttering, and he was able to overcome that. And he just developed, and not just his the way he the games he would call with Dave Pasch on ESPN and the college basketball games, just the game was secondary. You just listened to Bill Walton enjoying life. And there were probably some people didn't like that particularly. It was like, oh, it's taken away from the basketball game. No, it didn't. Hey, you just sit there and just listen to Bill pontificate about life, about being happy, grateful, dead. And it was just marvelous television. And it was a lot of fun. And it took away from the basketball, but it was enjoyable. And Bill Walton just seemed to just exhibit a joy of life. And we all should strive to do that. And it's unfortunate he passed away Monday. I think he still had a lot of years left to give us, and fortunately, it was his time. So, Bill, rest in peace, and we'll take you out with a little bit of a Grateful Dead, because I know you were one of the biggest Deadhead fans out there. So, Bill, thank you for life, and shine on, brother. Coming up, Tim Kirchen on Major League Baseball. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in, keep trucking like the dude of man.
Hi, I'm Daily Gazette news columnist Andrew Waite and host of the Weighing In podcast, which takes you inside my award-winning featured news column by offering the backstory, thought process, and interviews that inform my work. Plus, readers have their chance to respond. The Weighing In podcast is available at DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Rick Marshall from the Daily Gazette's Martial Arts Podcast. In each episode, I interview artists from around the region, from musicians and comedians to dancers, sculptors, even video game designers. After you finish the latest episode of the Parting Shots Podcast, I hope you'll give martial arts a try.
Want to get all the latest news from the Daily Gazette on your phone or tablet? We have an app for that. The Daily Gazette app allows you to read all the newspaper stories and columns from our dedicated team of journalists. The app is free. You can download the app from the Apple or Google App Stores.
Hi, this is ECAC Hockey Commissioner and Union Hockey alum Doug Christensen. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Shaw.
Welcome back to the podcast and our friend from ESPN, Tim Kirchen, talking Major League Baseball here. Tim, welcome back to the podcast. Hope things are well with you.
Thank you, Ken. Everything is well.
Good. Before I get into baseball, I wanted to ask you, obviously, you know, the passing of Bill Walton, and you are a big basketball fan. What was he like when you were growing up down in Maryland?
Yeah, well, he's one of the greatest basketball players of all time, certainly one of the greatest collegiate players of all time. And that famous game against Memphis State, which was right in my wheelhouse, I was a teenager. He made 21 out of 22 shots, completely dominated the game. And that Trailblazer team that won the NBA championship, I'm not sure a center has ever played a more complete game for a full season like Bill Walton did. He absolutely controlled the boards. He was a great rebounder, scored when he needed to, one of the greatest passing big men ever. So when we talk about the greatest centers of all time, at least for a limited period, you know, you've got Russell, Chamberlain, Kareem, and Bill Walton. Those are the four greatest centers ever for me. And watching him was an absolute pleasure to do.
Well, you had to bring up a painful memory for me of 1977 when the my 76ers had a 2-0 lead in that series, and the whole series turned around in game two when Darryl Dawkins got into that fight with Maurice Lucas, and then just everything after that was all Trailblazer. George McGinnis couldn't hit a shot for the Sixers, and it was just a nightmare.
Yes, I remember that series very, very well. Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's all right. But, a lot of baseball to talk about, with a lot of news here in recent days. Let's start with Angel Hernandez, quote-unquote, retiring from umpiring on Tuesday. It seems Angel Hernandez has been recognized as one of probably the most criticized umpires. He misses a lot of calls, and it seemed like when that announcement came Monday night into Tuesday, people were happy around social media. Why is Angel Hernandez such a lightning rod of criticism?
Yeah, look, we got to be careful here, Ken, because the guy umpired for three decades, okay? And he wouldn't have done that if he was the worst umpire ever.
Yeah.
He missed a bunch of calls. We know that. More important, I think it was his attitude that estranged people more than anything. I think he was confrontational at times when he didn't have to be. And I think he, you know, went after Major League Baseball for reasons that he thought were just, that certainly didn't endear him to anyone either. So, and again, I'm a big umpires guy. I maintain the average fan wouldn't last five pitches behind home plate in a major league game before saying, get me out of here. This is too scary. It's too dangerous. So let's give him his due, but I think it's better for the game and probably for him that he moves on, because it was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy that every time he went out there, people just assumed that he was going to cause trouble or miss a call. And even when he didn't, they just assumed that he did. So I think this is better for him, better for the game. And, I'm not happy to see him go, and I'm certainly not going to make fun of somebody who put in that much time to a very difficult profession.
Yeah, and it seems like, I mean, I hate to harp on the umpire, but it seems like this year the umpires are missing a lot of balls and strikes. Brett Boone gets thrown out by Hunter Wendelstein in a game that where a fan's yelling over there, and not Brett Boone. It seems like things, I don't know, does umpiring seem to be under scrutiny a little bit more this year than we've seen in past years?
Yeah, and some umpires, including Hunter Wendelstedt, made some bad mistakes. We've seen some umpires do some regrettable things this year. But I repeat, it is a really hard job. And now the game moves faster than ever. Plus, it doesn't help the umpires that when you're sitting at home in your living room, you can see the strike zone better than they can. Every single mistake they make is on your television screen. Can't imagine if you mispronounced a word or stumbled over something during a podcast and you had someone yelling in your ear every time you made a mistake. That would not be a very easy thing to get through. Again, I'm a big umpire guy. I don't think they've done overall a particularly good job this year. Let's hope that changes, because they're really good at this, and we've had some regrettable incidents so far.
Yeah. I know there's talk about the robo umps for the ball strikes calls. Are we going to see that anytime soon?
Yeah, we're going to see an automated strike zone sooner rather than later. And I would guess within 2 to 3 years, we're going to have a challenge system in the minor, like we have at the minor leagues, where a hitter can say, all right, I want to challenge that ball strike call, because again, the ball moves very quickly. You're going to miss something that's 2 or 3 inches outside. But if it means the difference in a win and a loss, I think Major League Baseball is going to pay attention to that. And I'm not saying I'm for it, but I need to watch it work for another few years in the minor leagues before I'm up for anything automated and any sort of challenge system. If we feel it works, let's go for it. But we have to be close to foolproof that this system is going to work.
And I feel bad for the umpires, too, because the catchers have gotten very good to excellent of framing pitches and moving that glove around and make it look like a strike.
Yeah, and that's what they're all trained to do now. They've even changed their catcher's stance in order to steal a strike or two. And when you say steal it, Ken, we're talking about turning a ball into a strike. You're trying to deceive the umpire. Look, they got their hands full as it is. And now you got catchers are being trained to move a ball into the strike zone, and it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. Well, and some sad news for the Atlanta Braves on Sunday. Ron Acuña Jr., the reigning National League MVP, he tears his ACL in his left knee 3 years after tearing the ACL in his right knee. I mean, how devastating is this for the Braves, especially with their top starter, Spencer Strider, out for the year with an elbow injury?
Yeah, this is terrible news for the Braves, and it also comes at a time that, at least until the last few days, the Phillies were absolutely rolling.
Mm-hmm.
The Braves have not been the same devastating offensive team, even with Acuña Jr. Now you take him out of the leadoff spot. That is a way different looking team than the one that led the league in homers and runs scored last year. So you take away basically their best pitcher in Spencer Strider, their best offensive player in Ronald Acuña Jr., and you're in a division with the Phillies, that makes for a really difficult spot they're in. I think they're still a playoff team. I still think they are loaded, but I think the National League East and maybe the entire National League changed when Acuña Jr. went down for the season.
Yeah, you mentioned the Phillies. Of course, I mean, I'm a Philadelphia diehard Phillies fan, and I've loved the way they've been playing. I know a little bit of a slump right now, but it seems like the critics are saying that they haven't played a 500 team. Well, they're playing the schedule that's put in front of them. What do you want them to do? Because they'd be the same people that would say if they weren't winning these games, they'd be criticizing them. Oh, they're supposed to be a good team. They can't beat these teams under 500.
Yeah, look, I understand schedule, but I'm not the biggest strength of schedule guy, because I have seen really good teams get knocked around by bad teams all the time, and I've seen it just works different ways. This is the ultimate beauty of the game, is that a bad team can go into a visiting ballpark and win 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. It simply can't happen in the NBA. Bad teams never went into Chicago Stadium and beat Jordan's Bulls. They went 40-1 at home 1 year. That doesn't happen in baseball. That's why baseball is so great, is that anyone can win any single night. And so I'm not worried about the Phillies. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. They're beating up on teams they're supposed to beat. When the schedule gets tougher, let's see what they can do. But they accomplished their mission. They've opened up a big lead in their division.
I think a lot of baseball fans have this NFL mentality where it's, the NFL is only 18-week season, and they think they got to win every single game. And this is 162. It's a marathon. It's people got to be patient a little bit. Sometimes I get a little frustrated, but in the end, it's 162 games. You're not going to win all 162 games. I mean,
right.
Even the teams that win 100 games, they lose 60.
Right. Again, you go into every season thinking, no matter how good you are, we're going to lose 62 times this year. That's if you win 100 games. Everyone else is going to lose a lot more than 62 games, and that's the mentality you have to have, given the degree of difficulty of the game, is occasionally we're going to lose. Then we got to bounce back and try to win tomorrow. It's a really hard game, and you're going to lose some, and you're going to win some.
Yeah, so let's talk about the New York team, starting with the Yankees. They've gotten off to a good start, despite not having their ace Gerrit Cole in the rotation. Does this seem to be a critical year for the Yankees after they missed the postseason last year?
Yeah, I think it is, especially when they went and got Juan Soto, and he has changed the outlook of that team offensively. That whole team now looks at him every single at-bat and says, that's what a great major league at-bat looks like. That's what it's supposed to look like. And it looks that way every time he steps into the box. And now Aaron Judge has gotten really hot. The only Yankee ever to have, I mean, the last Yankee to have this many extra base hits in a month was Joe DiMaggio in 1937. That's how good Judge has been. Stanton has been better. They've got LeMahieu back. Anthony Volpe is a really good player. But most important, their starting pitching has been spectacular. Luis Gil has been so good. And remember, he was supposed to start the season in the minor leagues if Gerrit Cole had been healthy. And the way they've gotten starting pitching from Clark Schmidt and Marcus Stroman and, of course, the rest, I love where the Yankees are right now. And they're only going to get better if Cole comes back in, say, middle of June, end of June, and is himself. Now their starting pitching would be sensational.
Yeah. Of course, the other team in New York, the Mets, are a mess at this point. I mean, they're in for another long season. You know, closer Edwin Diaz, who missed all of last season, is struggling. He's blown a number of saves. Francisco Lindor is struggling. Pete Alonso's future with the Mets is up in the air. How bad are things in Flushing?
Yeah, it's really bad right now. They've lost four games in May in which they led into the ninth inning. 4 in 1 month. The last time that the Mets did that was 1992. You know, Edwin Diaz just hasn't been the same closer as he was 2 years ago. Maybe it's as simple as he missed a season, but I think it's also a bit unrealistic to compare him to the 2022 season, which is one of the greatest seasons a closer has ever had.
Yeah.
And this is what happens to teams when you've got the ninth inning covered. It changes the approach for the entire team. When your ninth inning is way up in the air, everything changes. The offense as well. We better have a big lead by the ninth. Those seventh, eighth inning pitchers say, I better hold everyone down. And we got to keep a big lead because we're not able to hold it in the ninth. So they got to get that bullpen fixed before anything else. But I just don't see the Mets as a playoff team. I don't even see them as a playoff contender. At best, I think they're a 500 team this year.
Do you see them getting rid of Alonso maybe to rebuild?
I don't understand that. I understand that would be a possibility, but he's a really good player. He's a great power hitter. He loves playing in New York. The people there love him. He wants to stay. I don't understand why more hasn't been done to keep him. Maybe they just don't think he's a cornerstone player. I do. And I think you re-sign him, you add a bunch of pitching, you go get some more help, and you hope Lindor turns it around again and gets hot again, as he's done in recent years. But a lot of work to be done here for the Mets.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Mets, you'll be in London for the Mets-Phillies two-game series. You'll be working the Sunday game on ESPN June 9th. With Michael Kay and Doug Glanville. How much are you looking forward to that?
Well, I really am. I went last year, and I did the Cardinals-Cubs last year, and it was an absolute blast. I had so much fun. I was so taken by how the Cubs and Cardinal players went there for more than just a two-game series. They went there as, you know, an experiment, like it was an adventure for them. They learned stuff other than baseball there, you know. Paul DeYoung, shortstop for the Cardinals last year, looked at me at the batting cage and said, isn't it interesting how every great civilization, you know, like took place on a river or on a body of water? Like, he recognized that.
Yeah.
This is what those guys picked up. So I'm going back. Plus, my mother grew up in Bournemouth, England. So I've got some English blood in me. I love those people over there. And they're starting to understand and like baseball more and more every year.
That's good. I mean, how good is it for Major League Baseball to take some regular season games abroad? I mean, they've been in Mexico, they've been in Puerto Rico. I mean, how important is that for Major League Baseball, and how good is it?
It's great. I mean, I know Mexico City and Korea, and you know, we've been to Japan. We've been so many places. It only helps the brand. Is it easy? No. Is it travel hard? Yes, of course. I mean, are there a lot of huge baseball fans in England? No. But you got to start somewhere, and I think this is – last couple years has been a really good start. The stadium is great, the people there, and I couldn't believe – how well the Cubs and Cardinal fans traveled. Every 10 feet I walked in London, there were someone wearing a Cubs or Cardinal jersey. It'll be interesting to see how well the Phillies and the Mets travel this year.
Well, I think the Phillies will travel well because, I mean, you see, I mean, I watch the games on MLB TV, and the Colorado, they overtook Colorado last weekend. It was just amazing that how well Phillies fans travel.
Yeah, it'll be great, and that's what's so good. This is why people are this is their summer vacation. We're going to go England. We're going to go to England, and we're going to watch the Phillies play twice. We're going to watch the Mets play twice, and we're going to see a historic part of the world.
Yeah, well, one issue has been the uniforms this year. Nike took over, and there's been a lot of complaints about that. What happened with the uniforms this year?
Well, something went wrong, and the players didn't like the uniforms. They sweat too much in them. They didn't fit properly. They didn't like the lettering. And I'm not sure exactly what happened there. I do know this, and it sounds ridiculous, but these are the ultimate creatures of habit. They are playing an exceptionally difficult game. And when what you're wearing doesn't feel good when you're wearing it, that affects players' mentality. It affects their play. So we've got changes coming. This is going to be different. And that they have to change the uniforms because the players complained enough. I'm surprised it didn't take longer. I mean, it shouldn't have taken this long to listen to the players. They are the attraction, and we're going to get this fixed eventually.
Yeah, I mean, it started right in spring training they were complaining about, and it seemed like no, Nike was like, oh, no problem. It's no big deal, and it's become a big deal.
It is, and thank goodness we've come to a resolution.
Yes. Well, big news was announced Tuesday night that MLB is adding Negro League stats, and how great is that?
I think it's great. I think it's necessary. I think it's about time. Negro Leagues were so important in this country's history. It got Jackie Robinson to the major leagues. Willie Mays played in the Negro League. So did Hank Aaron. And that stuff really, really matters. And now that this will bring more of a light to exactly how great Josh Gibson was and Satchel Paige and so many others that played in the Negro League. So this is about time, and I'm all for it. And, you know, there was a 17-man committee headed by John Thorne, who's one of the great historians ever. So the right thing was done. I wish it had happened earlier.
I got some listeners' questions for you, Tim, starting with Mitch Tomaszkiewicz. Is it more likely that his White Sox will fire or extend Pedro Grifol, and he's fearing what the answer might be?
Well, this has been a couple of really bad years now for the White Sox, three and one and a half or so under Pedro Grifol. I don't want to choose between the two, but if I have to choose between the two, I would say he's not going to be extended. However, this is not his fault. This is a bad team right now with a bunch of injuries. No manager can win with that club.
Yeah. Jim Kelly is curious as to the future of the, he says, chokehold Masson has on the Nats. As a lifelong Orioles fan growing up in Hampton, and now he's living in Northern Virginia, it is very frustrating. Can you maybe explain a little bit to our listeners what that situation is between Masson and the Nationals and the Orioles?
Yeah, it's very complicated, and this is not my strength. Mm-hmm. But in the same market, essentially, competing teams, the broadcast rights are controlled by one of the two teams, controls the rights of the other team. That just isn't right, and it has held the Nationals back in doing some things because they just don't have the same broadcast revenue that other teams have.
And to me, I mean, I know NBC Sports Washington is down there. I'm surprised they haven't ever gotten on board and taken over the Nationals.
So. Yeah, it's a real problem, and it needs to be fixed. It's been in court. It's been debated for years now. We still don't have a resolution. Yeah.
Jeffrey Schiffman wants to know if you were destined to work in baseball. I guess you went to Walter Johnson High School in Bethesda?
Yes, I went to Walter Johnson High School in Bethesda, Maryland. I think there's a certain destiny for making a career out of baseball since I went to a school named after the greatest pitcher of all time. I've always felt that way. It was always an honor to go there. I played baseball, basketball there. I wrote the school paper, which was called The Pitch. I did a little bit of work for the yearbook. It was called The Windup. So
that's great. Yeah,
Walter Johnson High School is a big part of my life.
Yeah. And finally, Dean Gamber wants to know, and he says you'll get a kick out of this. Do you like avocados?
Yeah, that story is way too long to tell. But on the Tony Kornheiser podcast, somehow I've become the spokesperson for avocados. Look, I like avocados, but they actually made up a song about me, which they do on that show all the time. And to the music of Desperado,
Eagles,
one of the great songs ever.
Yes.
Instead of Desperado, they said avocado. Yeah, that's where we are on that show, and it's time to drop it.
Well, let me give you a chance to plug. I think you're doing a podcast with the Sun now.
Yeah, every Tuesday it runs. We're 10 weeks in. My son Jeff and I do a podcast. It is joyful. It is fun. There's no heavy lifting. There's no hot takes. It's just a father and a son talking about baseball. It's been the greatest experience of my professional life doing something with my son. I've loved every second.
Well, Tim, appreciate it as always. A few minutes talking baseball with you, and have fun in London, and we'll talk down the road.
Okay, Ken. Thank you.
All right. That's Tim Kirchner. I'll be back to wrap up the podcast and have the latest winners in the Daily Gazette's auto racing contest in just a moment.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity from the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Hi, this is Mark Kestisher, the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio and college football on ESPN Radio. I grew up in Gilderland. I'm a proud member of the 518, and I go back over 30 years with Ken Schott. And when I'm not listening to his Schottsky radio, I'm listening to the Parting Shots podcast with Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Here's Ken.
Back to wrap up the podcast. The Week 14 winner in the Daily Gazette's auto racing contest was GD Mastro of Schenectady with 55 points. GD wins a $50 gift card. Congratulations, GD. The VIP winner was Nick Platel, Grand Premier Tires, with 30 points. I'll announce the auto racing contest winner's name, and that winner's name will appear in Saturday's Daily Gazette. To play, go to dailygazette.com and click on the auto racing contest banner. Just because COVID-19 mandates are easing, that does not mean you should relax. Be vigilant. If you have not gotten vaccinated or received a booster shot, please do so. Do it for yourself, do it for your family, and do it for your friends. That wraps up another edition of the Parting Shots podcast. I want to thank Tim Kirchian for coming on the show. We're going to have a big podcast next week. We'll preview the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga with the Gazette's Mike McAdam. And I'm hoping to have an interview with a member of the Fox Sports team, which is televising the Belmont. We'll talk about the race. We'll also have previews of the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. I'm lining up interviews with Mark Kestisher, the voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio, and the Associated Press's Tim Reynolds to discuss the NBA Finals, and Pierre McGuire on the Stanley Cup Finals. If you have questions or comments about the podcast, email them to me at Schott, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com. Follow me on X and Threads at Slapshots. The views expressed in the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Daily Gazette Company. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Daily Gazette Company. I am Daily Gazette sports editor Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good sports.